Okay, once again, I want to thank the Lower East Side Deli down here in Orlando, Florida, for hosting the Daf Yomi Shir the past couple of days. We are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in Masech Shabbos. Today's Daf is Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Today we are going to get into some Agarata. There are basically three topics in today's Daf. First, we continue on the topic of kosher, of tying knots. Knots that are considered not to be permanent. The Gemara, the Mishnah will discuss knots that are considered not to be permanent because they're tied with ropes that are going to be needed for other purposes. Such as an example, knots tied with a weaver's rope. And once the Mishnah mentions a weaver's rope, so the Gemara discusses is whether a weaver's tools are considered to be muksa or not. But then the second Mishnah discusses folding clothing on Shabbos, and that leads us into a whole discussion of the importance of having special clothing for Shabbos, and other ways, once we talk about special clothing for Shabbos, we talk about other ways that Shabbos is supposed to be special. And then the final topic on the Daf, the end of the Daf, expounds on several psukim from Megillas Rus and discusses various lessons that could be derived from those psukim in Megillas Rus. Just one ha'ara from yesterday's Daf, we mentioned that if the previous generations were ka'anoshim, then anu k'chamorim, then we are like donkeys, v'lo k'chamorim shel Pinchas ben Yair, and we're not like the chamorim of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So I was just thinking yesterday, while waiting on a line for something or other, I was just thinking why it is that, you know, why do we have to be so harsh? I mean, what's the message of that point, that we're not even like the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair? A chamor doesn't have b'chir chavshus. A chamor doesn't have any kedushas, even any mitzvos. So really, we're not even like a chamor shel Pinchas ben Yair. We're bnei Yisrael. We're mechuyev in mitzvos. We have bechir chafshus at least. We're human. Why would we say that we're not even the subhuman level of chamor shel Pinchas ben Yair? So I was thinking maybe when you discuss the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations, there are two differences. One is in the level of Torah knowledge. And that's the indication that we're saying that if the previous generations were like men, then we're like chamorim in terms of our das, in terms of our Torah knowledge. But there's another major difference, and that is that there used to be a greater intuitive sense of Ratzon Hashem, of what the right thing to do is. What was unique about the Chamor of Pinchas ben Yair was that the Chamor of Pinchas ben Yair intuitively, without any knowledge, without any das, without any Bechir Chavshis, intuitively knew to stay away from Isser. And you know, I think of of Jews. I know my grandmother from older generations, who she wasn't educated at all. She didn't know, she knew how to read Hebrew, but that was pretty much it. Had no real Jewish education, but had an intuitive sense of what was right. So maybe that's the message of what we're saying, that we're not even like the Chamor or of Pinchas ben Yair, that we not only lack the knowledge of the previous generations, but we lack that intuitive sense as well. Just a thought. So let's pick up now from the Mishnah on the sixth line, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Kosher in Deli Bepiskia Avalo Bechevel, that you're allowed to tie a bucket when you're by a well. You're allowed to tie it with a girdle, because the girdle is going to be used for something else, so you're not going to leave the girdle there forever, but you're not allowed to tie it with a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says you could even tie it with a regular rope. Klal lom Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says a rule, kol kesher sheino shel kayama ein chayav nalav. Any knot that's not meant to stand, that's not meant to be there, you're not going to be chayav on. So the Gemara is going to deal with the fact that Rabbi Yehuda just said Matir. Rabbi Yehuda was just Matir. Matir means mutar lechatchila, and then his klal is Ein Chayavin alav. Whenever it's on Kesher Shel Kayama, there's no Chiv. There's a big difference between saying Ein Chayavin and saying Mutter. When you say Mutter, you're saying it's Mutter L'Chachila. When you say Ein Chayavin alav, you're saying that you're not going to be Chayav a Korban, but it would still be Pater Avalasir. So says the Gemara, Chevel Demai, what type of rope are we talking about where we have this Machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, if you could tie a bucket with this rope? Ilem Chevel Dialma, if it's just a regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda Matir? What do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda's going to hold that tying a bucket with a regular rope is Mutter? Kesher Shel Kayama, who? That's a Kesher Shel Kayama. That's what you're supposed to tie a bucket with, and you're obviously going to leave it there. Ela Chevel Degardi. Rather, we must be talking about a weaver's rope. And the Rabbanan are saying that you're going to be chayiv for tying a bucket with a weaver's rope, even though the weaver might want to use that rope. L'meimra d'Rabbanan. Now, why would the Rabbanan say yuchayiv? For the why would the Rabbanan say they don't say yuchayiv? They say avalo b'chevel. You're not allowed to tie with this weaver's rope. Why would the Rabbanan say that it's us to tie with this rope? Probably because even though it's not a kesher shel kayama, they're going to assume that we're going to be gozer. Don't tie with the weaver's rope, lest you come to tie with a regular rope. Gzeira d'Rabbanan. L'meimra d'Rabbanan savri gazrinan chevel de gardi atu chevel de alma v'rabidu savar lo gazrinan. So then then what does it boil down to? The whole machlokes in our Mishnah boils down to, do we make a gzeira, do we not make a gzeira? That the Rabbanon hold, we're going to make a gzeira, don't tie a bucket with a weaver's rope, lest you come to tie it with a regular rope. And Rav Yehuda says, no, I'm not interested in making any such gzeiras, we don't have to worry about any such things. If there's going to be a machlokes about whether to make a gzeira or not to make a gzeira, does it really turn out that the Rabbanon hold, yes, make a gzeira, Rav Yehuda holds, don't make a gzeira? Or a minimal, ask a stira, where we have a similar gzeira, but the opinions are reversed. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's more eager to make a gzeira, and the Rabbanon are the ones that are less eager to make the gzeira. And that is as follows: Chevel d'lisha nifsak. If you have the rope that's tied to a bucket that snaps, lo ye kosho ela onvo. You can't retie it. You can only tie a bow. Rabbi Yehuda omer korich alav punda o piskaya o blvad shloyan venu. And he says you could wrap some type of string around it, but you can't tie a bow. Tying a bow is not going to be okay. So kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think you can't tie a bow? Obviously, because he wants to make a gzeira. Don't tie a bow, lest you come to tie a knot. And so Rabbi Yehuda, you see, is eager to make a gzeira over here. So why isn't he eager to make a gzeira by using a weaver's rope? Kasha drabanan adrabanan. And it's also stirin the rabbanan. The rabbanan do not make a gzeira against tying with a weaver's rope, against tying a bow rather. And yet they do make a gzeira against tying with a weaver's rope. So answers the Gemara, drabanan adrabanan lo kasha. It's not a stir in the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan think that it's more likely that a person is going to become confused between two different types of ropes and say, oh, if I can tie with a weaver's rope, why can't I tie with a regular rope? And that's why they make a gzeira over there. But no one's going to be confused between tying a bow and tying a knot. They know that the malacha is kosher, so it's a completely different kind of knot. If you allow him to tie a bow, he's not going to come to tie a knot. That's why the Rabbanan don't make the gzeira on the bow. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, and the stira in Rabbi Yehuda is also not a stira. Hasam lo mishum de michlef Aniva b'kshira, ela aniva gufa kshirihi. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not allowed to tie a bow is not because he's afraid people are going to confuse tying a bow with tying a knot. No, it's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bow constitutes a knot on a Daraisa level. It was Rabbi Meir who said that any kesher that you could undo with one hand is not called a kesher. That was Rabbi Meir in the first Mishnah over there. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, even if it's a kesher that you could undo with one hand like a bow, it's still going to be considered a knot. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, Rabbi Yehuda's Chumra. But it's not because of a Gezerah Drabanan. Midaraisa, it's a real knot. It's Aniva itself is Kshira, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Mevi Adam Chevel Mitoch Beis of a Kosho Beparo Ubi Ivus. That a person could bring a rope and he's allowed to tie one end to the cow and the other end to the feeding bucket of the cow. So Esve Rabbi Acha Aricha Duhu Rabbi Acha Bar Papa. Rabbi Acha Aricha, who is the same person as Rabbi Acha Bar Papa, asked the question. It's interesting, why do they call him Rabbi Acha Aricha? Sounds like he probably was tall. It was probably a nickname. But that leads to a question: are you allowed to have nicknames for people? The Gemara says that it's a violation of Malm Pnei Chaver Barabim, that someone is it's one of the people that are Yordin Vein Molin, that you go down to Gehenim and you don't come out when you call somebody by a nickname. So there's a discussion what the issue of calling someone by a nickname is. Is it a violation of Malm Pnei Chaver that you're embarrassing the person? Is it a violation of just not giving the person their proper individual identity that they're associated with by their names? But okay, but Rabbi Acha Richa Pashlis is that's a nickname. So Rav Acha Bar Papa, I remember I saw in the Tshuva once, I think from the Ben Ish Chai, where he was asked about someone. There were two guys named Chaim in the town. One was tall, one was short, and they used to call the tall one Chaim Aruchim. So they wanted to know if that's an okay nickname to give a person, because it's not a bad nickname, it's a bracha. Okay, so Rav Acha, so anyway, so Rabbi Acha.
What do they call the other guy?
That's a good question. Rabbi Acha Stam Chaim. Rabbi Acha Aricha, who's Rabbi Acha Bar Papa, asked Rabbi Abba, Chevel Shebi Ivus, Kosho Bepara Vishabepara, Kosho Be Ivus. If you have a rope that's already tied around the feeding bucket, so you could tie the other side onto the cow. If it's already tied onto the cow, you could tie the other side onto the feeding bucket. Ubulvad Shaloyavi Chevel Mitoch Besov Yiksha Bepara Be Ivus. But one thing you cannot do is take a rope from your house that's not yet tied to anything and tie one end to the cow in one end to the feeding bucket. So don't you see there's a kasha, because Rav said that maybe Adam Chevel mitoch beis of a kosher, that you can bring a rope from your house and tie one end to the feeding bucket and one end to the cow? Says the Gemara, Hasam Chevel Alma, Hacha Chevel Gardi. Over there we're talking about a regular rope. A regular rope you're not allowed to bring from your house and tie. Over here we're talking about a rope of a weaver. Rav is talking about the rope of a weaver. You're allowed to bring a weaver's rope to tie it together. So I'm Rabbi Dom Shmuel, Klei Kivai, once we mention the rope of a weaver, the various kalim of a weaver, Mutal Tatal and Shabbos. It's not an Isra Muksa, you're allowed to be metaltal them on Shabbos. Baumi name Rabbi Yehuda, Kovada Elyon, Vakovada Tachton Mahu. What about the upper beam and the lower beam of the weaver's equipment that would hold the threads in place? So in v'lav rafya biyadei. So he wasn't sure. Yes, no. He was shvach. He wasn't sure what to say about that shaila. Itmar amar of Nachum Ramar Shmuel klei kivoy mutzul tathlon b'shabbos. If you have a weaver's kalim, you're allowed to be metal to them on Shabbos. Afilu kovet ha'elyon v'kovet ha'tachton. Even the upper beam and the lower beam. Avlois ha'amudim, and not the posts on the side of the weaver's of the loom. Amar le ravel of Nachman, maishna amudim delo. What's the problem with the posts? Why are the posts considered to be something that you're not allowed to move? Ile mit the kovet gumos. If you're going to say, well, the posts are so heavy, they dig into the ground a little bit, and it's going to leave holes in the ground, and that's the problem. Well, gumos memela kavyon, that happens by itself. You didn't do anything to make those gumos, so that can't be the problem. That can't be the isser.
Isn't the whole thing a klusha menachta to the isser?
So, there are different pieces of it that apparently that's the issue. Meaning, is it muksa because klishim nakta l'isser, or do we say that no, you could use it for heter also, that you can use it for, and people do, and people use these different posts for a variety of different things, just that they stick them together to make the weavers kli. So that's part of the issue, and it's also whether it's klishim nakta l'isser is one issue. The other is whether it's would you dafka not use it for something else because it's a weaver's kalim? So the posts on the side apparently aren't very fragile, and people would use them for other things. But so the only issue might be the holes that are left in the ground. The Tanan, because we lived in the Mishnah, hatom, meaning holes that come in Mela, we're not worried about, as we see in the following Mishnah. Hatom in lefes utznonos tachas agefen. If a person buries turnips or radishes underneath a grapevine, so he has turnips or radishes that he already picked from the ground, and now he just buries them in the ground for safekeeping. So im miktas alav megulin, if some of the leaves are exposed above ground, eino choshesh, you don't have to worry, lo mishum klayim, it's not an issur of planting klayim, kilei akerim, that you have other things growing right next to the vines. V'lomishum shviyas, nor do you have to worry about avodas hakarka b'shmita, that it's an issur of shviyas to plant it in the ground. V'lomishum meiser, nor are you going to have to worry about meiser, meaning if you already took meisers from it the first time you picked it, this isn't called that it's growing from the ground again. When you pick it out the second time, it's not going to be chayv in meisers the second time. V'nitalin b'shabbos b'sada, and v'nitalin b'shabbos, and you're allowed to take them out of the ground on Shabbos. So you see that even though obviously it's going to leave a little bit of a hole in the ground, but that happens memela. You're just trying to pull the thing out of the ground. But you're allowed to pick them up out of the ground. That's no problem. So you see that we're not concerned about being about making gumos. No, there's a big difference. When you leave a hole in the ground out in the middle of the field, we're not concerned because you don't care about a hole in the ground out in the middle of the field. But when it's right in the middle of your house, like in our case, where does he do his weaving? It's not out in the middle of a field somewhere, it's in his house. So if you're going to pick up the side posts in the middle of your house and you're going to leave a hole in the ground, that's going to be a problem, because we're concerned that a person might come to be mashvagumos, he might come to fill in those holes, and that's going to be a violation of the melacha of bone on Shabbos, of building on Shabbos, when you are mashvagumos on the floor of your home. We saw Gemara previously that what melacha you violate when you're mashvagumos depends on where you are mashvagumos, whether it's in the field or in the house. But either way, it's a violation of melacha d'oraisa to be mashvagumos. We're very concerned that you'll come to do that if you leave gumos in your house. So,
why you allowed to pick a regular onion from the ground or something?
No, the point is you didn't. No, this isn't growing from the ground. This is not growing from the ground. The point is that this is something
to be the same malacha.
No, it's not. The malacha is that you're tolish min hakarka normally. When you pick something from the ground, you're uprooting it from the ground. Over here, this isn't rooted in the ground. You just
So because it's not rooted, you're allowed to pull it out?
Correct. Right. So by me, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, klei kivai kugon kovet elyon kovet atachton mal taltlam b'shabbos. Is it muktzah? Are you allowed to move klei kivai like the upper beam and the lower beam on Shabbos? Amalei ein metaltlin. He says you can't. Matam lefishe initalin. Why can't you? Because they are not normally taken. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Lefishe initalin. Sounds like he's just repeating the question. So he says that lefishe initalin af bechol mepnei kovdan hilkal kam lachdan lekach. Since even on a weekday they're not ever used because they're too heavy, so they're not ever used for anything else. Therefore, kol melachton lekach, everything that are always used for an iser. So it's a klisha melachton l'iser, and it's something that doesn't sound like that's muktzah machmas chesron kis. Muktzah machmas chesron kis, you don't want to use it because you're afraid you're going to ruin it. Over here, it's not that you're afraid you're going to ruin it; it's just that it's never used for anything else. So it's an issue of klisha melachton l'iser, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Big nafkamina, whether it's klisha melachta lis or whether it's muktzah machmas chesron kis. If it were muktzah machmas chesron kis, you're not allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo. Klisha melachta lis, or you are allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo. So if it's in the way, you need the space, or for whatever reason you do want to use it for some other purpose, you would be allowed to take it if the issue is the one of klisha melachta lis. So good. So that's in terms of tying. Now the Mishnah moves on. Next Mishnah goes on to discuss folding clothing on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, person is allowed to fold over their clothing even four or five times to make nice, neat folds. And you're allowed to make your beds on from Friday night to Shabbos day, meaning if you're going to use the bed next on Shabbos, it's not a violation of Hachana to prepare the bed for its next use when the next use is going to be on Shabbos. Avalomi Shabbos l'motzoi Shabbos. But one is not allowed to make his bed from Shabbos to Motzoi Shabbos, meaning if he's making the bed on Shabbos and the next use is going to be on Motzoi Shabbos, so that you're not allowed to do. So the post can discuss this. This is a beferish Mishnah. You're not allowed to make your beds on Shabbos. It seems that a lot of people outside of Yeshiva Bachrim are makele with this issue, right? That we do make our beds on Shabbos. So whenever you're dealing with the issue of Hachana, the issue always has to be is what's your real motivation in doing what you're doing? Is your real motivation to prepare it for the next use, or is your real motivation for right now? For instance, brushing teeth on Shabbos. So Moshe writes that not only you're not allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos with a wet toothbrush because it's chita according to Rav Moshe, and not only are you not allowed to use toothpaste because it's mareach according to Rav Moshe, even if you brush your teeth with a dry toothbrush, you can't wash it off after you brush. Why not? Because it's hachana. When's the next time you're going to use it? It's going to be after Shabbos. So you're not allowed to be mechin from Shabbos to Chol. So I remember when I asked Rav Shechter about this years ago, he said, no, if I were to leave a dirty toothbrush next to the sink and all my nine children were to leave dirty toothbrushes next to the sink on Shabbos, my wife would get angry at us on Shabbos. It wouldn't take till after Shabbos for her to get angry. Meaning we're doing it so that we can clean up on Shabbos so that we can have a more enjoyable Shabbos. So if you're cleaning up the room because you want the house to look presentable, you want the house to look nice on Shabbos, that's not a chana. But if you're doing it dafka to prepare for after Shabbos, so that it is a chana. All of these things really depend on... It may depend on whether you plan on being in that room at all. There's also Kula the Poskim say anything that you do as a matter of course. It's just like that's what you do when you, for instance, you finish drinking, you take a drink of soda late in the day on Shabbos afternoon, or a drink of water, let's say, late in the day on Shabbos afternoon. Can you put the bottle back in the fridge? Next drink you're going to have is going to be after Shabbos. So is that hachana to put the bottle back in the fridge after you take your drink? So the Poskim are all makel based on the idea that no, that's just what you do when you take a drink. You put the bottle back in the fridge. It's not something. There's no Havana to be mechin for after Shabbos. That's just part of the process of taking a drink, is putting it back in the fridge. So again, it's hard to say against enough in a Mishnah to use that same svara say about making beds that it's just what you do. But if culturally that's just what people do, you wake up and you make your bed. So then maybe there's room to argue that might be another tzad lahakel. So Rabbi Shmuel omer mekaplan es hakelim umatziyin es hamitos miyom hakipurim l'Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says you could fold clothing and make beds from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. If Yom Kippur is on Friday, to prepare it for Shabbos. The chelvei Shabbos kraven b'yom kippurim, the fats of Shabbos karbanos, if Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, can be brought on the mizbeach on Yom Kippur. Avalo shel yom kippurim b'Shabbos. But if Yom Kippur fell on Friday, you can't use the you can't burn the Yom Kippur fats from Yom Kippur karbanos on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Omer lo shel Shabbos kraven b'yom kippurim, v'yol shel yom kippurim kraven b'Shabbos. It doesn't go either way. You're not allowed to burn the fats from Yom Kippur karbanos on Shabbos or the Shabbos karbanos on Yom Kippurim. Either one is going to be problematic. Says the Gemara, Amri Debe Rabbi Yanai, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'adam Echad. When we talk about folding clothing, so the whole issue of folding clothing, which, by the way, Tosfos points out, Mekaplim Kelim, he says, Mikan Lamanu Da'asa Lekapal Talisos Shal Beis HaKnesses, Levi She'im Litzarech Machar, that if you borrow a Shul Talis, that you shouldn't fold the Shul Talis, because they're Litzarech Machar, meaning if the whole issue of Mekaplim Kelim is that you're not supposed to fold clothing because it's going to be a violation of Achana, you're preparing it for its next use, so then when you know that the garment is not going to be used until a later time, until after Shabbos is over, so then it would be a problem. But again, that goes back to what your kavanah is when you're folding it. Is it because you want to be a mensch, and when you borrow something, you from the shul, let's say, you want to return it in a presentable way, or that you don't want it to get ruined, that if you crunch it up in a ball, it will get creased, and you don't want to crease the talus, so then maybe that would be a reason to fold. This is different than the issue of folding on the creases. Folding on the creases relates to laundry. That's a different issue. This don't matter, even if there are no creases. I happen to have a Shabbos talus, for some reason, I can't figure out why, never develops any creases. No matter where I fold it, how much, doesn't have any creases. So I don't have the issue of folding on creases. But this is a different issue. This is an issue of hachana, of preparing it for its next use. So says the Gemara, Amid Rabbi Yanai, Lo Shanu El Ba Adam Echad, Avu B'Shnei B'nei Adam Lo. When we say that you're allowed to fold the talus, that's one person doing it. But having two people do it together, then you're not allowed to fold the clothing, because two people will do a better job of it. They're going to straighten out all the creases, and then it's going to be misaking. You're going to be fixing the beged, because it's like ironing it. It's going to fix out, it's going to straighten out all the creases. And even one person is only allowed to fold new clothing, but older clothing, where it will be a significant tikkun to fold it properly, is also a problem. And even when it's one person on new clothing, it's only el b'levenim, only when it's white clothing, but colored garments is going to be a problem. And even if it's white clothing with one person and it's new clothing, still it's only going to be mutter if you don't have any other clothing to wear. But if you have other clothing that you could change into, so it's not going to be okay to fold the clothing on Shabbos. If you look at Tosos, he says, so we who always have another set of clothing, it's aser. What if you have other clothing but not as beautiful as this? So is that called yeshal lahachlif? Is it a din in that Rabbanan, we're not going to make a gzeira against doing this when it's not such a major tzorech, because you have what to wear? Or do we say that no, it's not about having what to wear, it's about increasing Kavod Shabbos, and the greatest Kavod Shabbos is to use your best clothing for Kavod Shabbos. Tana shel Beis Rabban Gamliel lo yimakaplin klei lavan shelahen mnei shayil en lahachlif. In the Beis Rabban Gamliel, they wouldn't even fold their white clothing because they had other clothing to change into. Amar Rav Huna, im yeshal lahachlif yachlif v'mein lo lahachlif yeshal shel bebegadav. He says, if you have other clothing to change into, good, change into it. Otherwise, lower your weekday clothing to have a longer garment for Shabbos. This is why some people have a minhag that they wear a kapata on Shabbos, that they'll wear a short jacket during the week and they'll wear a longer jacket on Shabbos, because yeshal shel bebegadav, that's considered to be a greater kavod of Shabbos to lengthen your clothing a little bit on Shabbos. Maskler of Safra v'hamis chazi karamas rucha. You walk around in kapata. It looks like ramas rucha. It looks like you're a bal gaiva. That who do you think you are to walk around like that? So he says, no. Kiven the kol yoma lo kavod ve'idnu hu de kavod lo mischazi karamas rucha. Since you don't do this the rest of the week, you only do this on Shabbos, so it doesn't look like you're being a bal gaiva. It looks like it's obvious that you're doing it lo kavod Shabbos, and that it's not, you're not doing it about a statement of who you are, you're doing it about a statement of what Shabbos is. It's interesting, the assumption is that wearing long clothing was considered to be Ramas Ruch. I'm reminded of a story of a certain Tamil Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, a very, very big Tamil Chacham, originally from Chicago, made Aliyah, who used to wear a short jacket, and someone said, a Talmud Chacham like you, you're going to walk around in a short jacket? He says, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to walk around the same way all the Amoratzim walk around. I notice all the Amoratzim in Eretz Yisrael walk around in long coats, so I'm going to wear a short jacket. So, but the assumption was that it's Ramos Rucha. So he says, no, if anything is clear that it's Lekavet Shabbos, is not Ramos Rucha. The Chibad Tomei Asos. So now the Gemara is going to darshan the Pasgin Yeshayahu that tells us about the mitzvah of Kavet Shabbos. There are two mitzvahs d'oraisa of Shabbos and two mitzvahs midivrei Kabbalah of Shabbos. The two mitzvahs d'oraisa are in the Aseres HaDibros, in the two versions of the Aseres HaDibros. You have Zocheres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, you have Zechiras Shabbos, and you have Shomeres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, you have Shmiras Shabbos. Shmiras Shabbos means anything that all the los ases of Shabbos, all the don'ts of Shabbos. Zocheres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho is all the do's of Shabbos, the mitzvahs aseh of Shabbos. Kiddush, Havdalah, that's Zechirah, perhaps. The other mitzvah Seif Shabbos are also included in the Zechira Shabbos, but at least Kiddush and Havdalah according to the Rambam. But then Midivrei Kabbalah, we have another two mitzvahs of Shabbos, and that's all in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that our Gemara is going to quote, and that is the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos and the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. The Rambam defines the difference between Kavod and Oneg as Kavod is what you do for Shabbos in advance of Shabbos, preparing your house before Shabbos to make it good on Shabbos, to make it nice on Shabbos. That's Kavod Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is what you do on Shabbos for Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos. So you eat a delicious piece of food, that's Oneg Shabbos. You prepare, you cook that delicious piece of food, that's Kavod Shabbos. So we're going to darshan that pasuk that talks about both of those in Yanim. The pasuk says, "Mtashim Yishabbos Raglecha Asos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kachay V'Karas Al Shabbos Oneg LeKadosh Hashem Mechubad V'Chibadito." How are you mechabed me'asos Drachecha Mimtzo Cheftzucha V'Daber Davar? So says the Gemara, "V'Chibadito Shaloyei Malbushcha Shal Shabbos Kamal Bushcha Shal Chol." Your Shabbos clothing should not be the same as your weekday clothing. In Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter writes, Rav Salvechik was once, when he was much older, was eating breakfast and he spilled the coffee all over his suit and he started muttering to himself, "It's your fault, Beryl, it's your fault." And whoever was being Mishamishim at the time said, "What are you getting so hard on yourself? You spilled the coffee." He said, "No, I got dressed this morning, I accidentally put on my Shabbos suit and I was too lazy to change out of it. And I knew because I violated this halacha, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was maybe this al yadai that I spilled my coffee on the suit." So a person should have a separate clothing for Shabbos. It shouldn't be the same as weekday clothing. The Chiyad Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamani Machbudasi, and that's Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothing his kavod. Me'asos drachecha. The pasuk goes on to say Shabbos should be different. Me'asos drachecha. That means shloye iluchach shel Shabbos ki iluchach shel chol. You shouldn't walk on Shabbos the same way you walk during the week. We'll see what that means in a moment. Mimtzo cheftzucha. Pasuk goes on to say mimtzo cheftzucha. What does that mean? Chafatzecha asurin cheftei shemayim mutarin. You shouldn't be worried about your own concerns, your own business concerns. But Chefzei Shemaim, you can always be concerned about on Shabbos. As the Gemara says, you're in Ksuvis, you're allowed to make cheshbonos shel mitzvah, even if it's monetary cheshbonos, but if it relates to a mitzvah, to Achnasas Kala, to be Milami Tinokos, etc., all of those cheshbonos can be made on Shabbos. V'daber davar, shloye diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol. And when it says v'daber davar, it means that the way one speaks on Shabbos should be different than the way one speaks during the week. This is Machlokas Rashi Tosos, what it means over here. If you look at Tosos, he quotes the Rashi, he says, "Pirush Kuntros kigon mekach umemkar," means that you shouldn't speak in business on Shabbos. Ve'ein nira l'rabbeinu tam. But Tosfos says that's not pshat over here. Da'kavar nafkum imtzol chavtzecha. Didn't we already say that? Isn't that what imtzol chavtzecha means? That you shouldn't speak in business on Shabbos? So this must be adding something else. In addition to not speaking in business on Shabbos, says Tosfos, "Ela omer rabbeinu tam, kida omer beveyikar rabbe, b'shim banichai havalei eimos savta, tahavis mishtaya sagya, omer la eimos shabbatuhu, Shaska." When he told her it's Shabbos, she was quiet. What does that mean? Mashma she'ein kol kach ledaber b'Shabbos kmo b'chol. Not just that the topics of our conversation should be different on Shabbos than they are during the week, we shouldn't speak as much on Shabbos as we speak during the week, Tosfos understands. U'Bishalmi amrinu b'torach yitiru b'sheil l'sholem b'Shabbos. Yishalmi says, it's already b'koshi that we allow people to say good Shabbos to people. In certain communities, they won't say good Shabbos to you, but we have, it's already b'koshi that we allow people to say good Shabbos, to do sheil l'sholem, to greet people on Shabbos, meaning you should always try to minimize the amount of speaking on Shabbos that you do overall, says Tosfos. Again, different than Rashi. Rashi says, no, it's not an issue of not speaking on Shabbos, it's an issue of what you speak about, the topics one chooses to speak about on Shabbos. Okay, says the Gemara, Diburasu hirur mutir. You're not allowed to speak in these things, but thinking about them is mutir. So Bishlam Kululechi, I understand all of these different ways that Shabbos should be special. They all make sense to me, except for one. El Shaloye iluchach shal Shabbos ki iluchach shal chol maihi. What's the idea that you're walking during on Shabbos should be different than you're walking during the week? How are you supposed to walk? What should you do? So ki hada amarav huna amarav amrila amarav yaba amarav huna haya mahalich b'Shabbos upagabam esamayim. Let's say you're walking on Shabbos and there's a large puddle in front of you. So im yachol aniach es raglo, or a, not a puddle, but a waterway, a stream. So im haya im yachol aniach es raglo rishon, kodem shetecher shniyah. If you're able to step over it without jumping, without leaving your feet, so then mutter, then you could step over it, even though it's a broad, wide step you're allowed to take over the stream, the imlav. But if the only way you're going to get from one end to the other end is by jumping, then aser, then you're not allowed to do that. So maskef larava hechilav. So what are you supposed to do? Leika, if you're going to go around it, kamapish biyulucha, then you're going to be tarech yourself more than necessary. It's going to be a much longer walk. Liover, what? You should walk through it. Zimnin de mitvus on mani maya. Then your clothing is going to get soaked with the water, and that's not just a problem that you're going to ruin your clothing. Va'asi lidei schita, and that's going to lead to a problem of schita. Remember, we pointed out from Tosfos and Ksuvos that there are two different possibilities of what the iser of schita is. The iser of schita sometimes is aser mishum dash, is also mishum mefarik, that you're pulling something out of clothing that it's absorbed in, and sometimes also mishum milabein. When we talk about schita mishum mefarik, we're talking about we're going to take something usable out of it. It's not going to be holeich liibud. That does not seem to be the case over here. Over here, it seems to be that it's schita mishum milabein, that since it's water and water is used to clean clothing, you're not allowed to squeeze water out of clothing because that's the way you launder clothing. That's the way clothing gets clean. So maybe also in Isser Mishum Malabin. Again, and by Malabin, it wouldn't be Shaykh by Shar Mashkim. It would only be Shaykh. Malabin is only an Isser by water, because you're not Malabin clothing with Shar Mashkim. You only do it with water. So anyway, so that's not a solution to just walk right through the puddle. El Baha, Kimin Delof, Shar Shapir Dami. So it says, but over here, since there's no other option, so you're going to have, meaning, Enochinami, normally you're not supposed to jump over, you're not supposed to jump on Shabbos. But over here, you have no better option. You can't walk around, it's going to be mapish b'ilucha. You can't walk through, it's going to be schita. So over here, you're allowed to jump. Elok edbay minei Rabbi Yishmol Rabbi Yossi. Rather, the difference in how you walk on Shabbos versus how you walk in the week is like Rabbi asked from Yishmol Rabbi Yossi. Ma'aluf sop siya gasa b'Shabbos. So you're allowed to take wide steps on Shabbos. Amalei v'chi b'chol miyutra. Is it mutter to walk that way during the week? Shani yom siya gasa n'telzechon mechamish me'os m'marei nevshal adam. Taking big steps takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. U'mahadalei b'kedusha de be'shim shi'en. It only comes back when you say Kiddush on Friday night. So you can't take big steps in general. So what do you mean? Can you do it on Shabbos? Can you eat dirt on Shabbos?
So there's a riot that you really can't. I mean, that kids really shouldn't exercise, kids shouldn't play sports, shouldn't do anything.
Well, exercising is a separate issue.
But the rub of every community should be machbit.
So there's a difference between kids and adults. The question is what the age of chinuch is for that. Certainly, adults shouldn't be playing sports. And what the age of chinuch? I remember when Rav Shechter was in my shul for Shabbos. That was one of the big questions that we asked him. At what age should we tell our children to not play sports on Shabbos? And he said, he said it should be way before bar mitzvah. It should be way. He didn't give a number. He said when the child is able to appreciate the chashivas of Shabbos, that Shabbos is different. That Shabbos is when he's a bar chinuch for that. So my 6-year-old at the time said, "What if you have a 6-year-old who already understands that Shabbos should be special, that Shabbos should be different? Can that child play sports on Shabbos?" He was 6. I said, "Yeah, you could still play, you know." But I don't think he understood. I don't know. I don't know what he understood or didn't. I remember we asked when I brought my children to talk to Rav Asher Weiss. My 6-year-old asked Rav Asher Weiss that question. He's 7 now, but he asked Rav Asher Weiss that question. Rav Asher Weiss said, kids have to be kids, and you should play. Don't play competitive games, but you could run around and play. That's what Rav Asher Weiss thought. But again, that's for children. But obviously, for an adult, it's entirely inappropriate. And there are other issues also. We'll share about it, but not for now. So, Amalei v'chi b'chol mihutra. So he said, during the week, is it mutter to eat adama? Is it mutter to eat from the ground on Shabbos? Shani yomer af b'chol asur neshu hu malke. It's also to do it on the weekday also, because it's unhealthy. Am Rabbi Ami, kol ochel me'afarish al Bavel. Anyone who eats from the dirt of Bavel, ki'ilu ochel mi'basar avosav. It's as if he's eating his forefather's flesh. V'yesham ki'ilu ochel shkatzim ramasim. Others say it's like eating shkatzim ramasim that are in the ground in Bavel. D'chsiv v'yimachas kol ha'yukum. That by the Mabel, everything was thrown all over the place and ended up buried everywhere. So Am Reish Lakish, lo me'nikra shma Shinar. Why is the place called Shinar? She'kol me'sei Mabel ninaru l'sham. All the me'sei Mabel were shaken out to there. Am Rabbi Yochanan, lo me'nikra shma Matsula. Why is the place called Matsula? She'kol me'sei Mabel nitzdalu l'sham. They were all emptied there. They all ended up there. V'yesham rukilu ochel shkatzim ramasim. And others say it's as if you ate shkatzim ramasim. Va'vaday idmachuyi idmachu. What do you mean it's as if you eat shkatzim ramasim when you eat from the Adama of Babel? Certainly it's completely decomposed, completely disintegrated in the ground. So you're not actually eating shkatzim ramasim anymore. So Amri kibin demalki gozabe rabbanon. No, we don't mean that you're eating the shkatzim ramasim that are there in the ground. It means that the rabbanon were goes there, don't eat from the ground because it's unhealthy, and they made the gezeira that it's ki'ilu you're eating shkatzim ramasim. Chamira sakanta meyisura. Sakanta is even more serious than isus. The rabbanon made a gezeira, don't do this because it's unhealthy. Da'u gavra da'achal gargishta v'achal tachli v'kadchle tachli belibe umis. This is the source of what our mothers tell us, that if you eat the pits, you're going to get a tree that grows in your stomach. A guy ate cress and he ate the seeds, and the seeds took root in his stomach, and a tree started growing, and he died. Okay, that's a reference to Bigday Shabbos. The pasuk goes on to say, give to a wise man and he will become wiser. So what does that refer to? We find examples of Rus and Shmuel who were told something and they took it to the next level to become to do something even wiser than they were advised. Rus, where do we find this by Rus? And Nami told her, get dressed up, dress very nicely, and then go down to the threshing floor. V'ilu b'didaksiv, what did she actually do? V'tere d'agoren, v'hadar, v'taska kolash and sivsa chamosa. First she went down to the threshing floor, and then she got all dressed up. So we see that was very smart of her, because she doesn't want to walk around all dressed up. It's going to attract the attention of men. Shmuel, where do we find that Shmuel? Does Nami d'ilu Eli ka'amarle? Eli told him, you don't know who's calling you in the middle of the night. You don't know what's going on. Here's what you do. Shachav next time you hear that voice, say, Daber Hashem, speak Hashem, your servant is listening. But he himself, when it actually ksivbe, it says, when he actually heard the voice, he left out the word Hashem, not to be presumptuous, that he knows that it's Hashem calling him. So now, once we mention that, now we're going to discuss a number of psukim from Megillas Rus, so we're going to say various drushas from these psukim. She kept on looking around till she found a proper group of people to walk with. She didn't want to be walking with an improper group of people. So Boaz said to his helper, who is this Nara? Is it Derech Eretz for Boaz to be asking about young girls? So no, he saw something special about her. He saw that she was unique and she was special. Either Shnei Shibalin Lakta, Shlosha Shibalin Eina Lakta, Tvar Chachma Rashi refers to Torah, that she that he saw that she was knowledgeable in Torah and knowledgeable in Halacha, that he saw that that when in terms of the Leket, that if there were, she dropped two, so then she would pick it up, but if she dropped three, Eina Lakta, but Masnisa Tana Dvar Tznius Ra'aba, that he saw extra Tznius. It wasn't a Dvar Halacha, it wasn't a Chachma that she saw, it was just an intuitive sense of Tznius that she saw, that Omedes Mu'umad, Noflos Miyush, Omdos Mu'umad, she would pick the standing grains standing up, Noflos Miyusha, the grains that had fallen, she would pick sitting down, but she would never bend over, because bending over is a lack of tznius, and he saw that behavior as something very special, so he wanted to find out who this woman is. What is it? The way of Boaz to connect to women in such a way? Once he saw that Arpa kissed her mother-in-law to say goodbye, and Rus clung to her, he said, you're allowed to connect to her. So Boaz says, come close. Amr Ablazar, remez ramazla. He was trying to give her a remez of what's going to be in the future. That asidu malchus peis David latzeis mimecha. That one day, the malchus peis David is going to emerge from you. Dechsiv bei halom, shenemar, because it says halom by Rus, and it says by the malchus peis David, shenemar, vayava melech David, vayeshav v'nei Hashem, vayomar mi anochi Adoni Hashem, umi beisi kievi ad halom. So the word halom is used in conjunction with the Malchus Beis David, as well as in Boaz's conversation with Rus. So you see what Boaz was trying to tell Rus was that one day you are going to the Malchus Beis David is going to emerge from you. V'tavalta pitecha b'chometz, you should dip your bread in vinegar. Amar Blazer mikan shachometz yafal l'sherev. We see from here that when there's a heat wave, vinegar is good. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, I'm a remez ramazla. No, he was telling her a remez. He was giving her a hint to what's going to happen in the future. Asid ben latzeis mimecha shema'as of kashim kachomets. Just like he told her the positive of what's going to come out of her, that one day the Malchus Beis Dov is going to come out of her, he also said there's going to be a child that comes out of you, that ma'as of kashim kachomets, whose deeds are as difficult as chomets, as vinegar. Umanu, who is that person? Menashe. That's going to be Menashe. Vatesha mitzah Kotsrim. She sat next to the Kotsrim, the harvesters. Amr Blazer mitzada Kotsrim v'lo betocha Kotsrim. That he said, sit next to the Kotsrim, not amongst the Kotsrim. Remez Ramazla, shasid the Malchus Beis David shetaschalik. And again, he was trying to hint to her that one day the Malchus Beis David is going to be split. The pasuk, we continue to darshan the pasukim. So the pasuk continues, "Vayitzpat lakali v'tochal v'tispa v'tosar." So Vayitzpat lakali v'tochal, Amar Blazer v'tochal b'mei David, v'tispa b'mei Shlomo, v'tosar b'mei Chizkiyo. That we talk about eating, being satiated, and having extra. So what are these simane bracha for? What do they represent? So the eating, that's b'yimei David, where we have a certain level of success. Vatispa, satiated, that's b'yimei Shlomo, where the material success of the Jewish people is even greater. Vatosar, and you'll have left over, that's b'yimei Chizkiyo. That's a reference to the days of Chizkiyo HaMelech. The Ikadamri, others say, Vatochal b'yimei David u'b'yimei Shlomo. Vatochal is a reference to the days of David and Shlomo. Vatispa b'yimei Chizkiyo. Vatispa is the days of Chizkiyo. Vatosar b'mei Rebbe, and Vatosar is a reference to the days of Rebbe. Damar Mar Ahurire de Rebbe Hava Atir Mishvar Malka. In the days of Rebbe, the person who was put over in charge of the horses and the mules of Rebbe, his stableman was greater than Shavar Malka, and more was richer than Shavar Malka. Was so wealthy. That's how great the level of material success was in Rebbe's house. And we learned elsewhere that it doesn't relate at all to the days of David and Shlomo and Chizkiyah and Rebbe or anything like that. No, Vatochel refers to Ba'olam Hazeh, that you're going to benefit in this world. Vatispa, a greater level of success, Liyamos HaMashiach, will be in the days of Mashiach. Vatosar, Liyasalavo, and then an even greater level of success will be left over for you, Lasalavo. You see over here, there are two different periods. There's Yamos HaMashiach, and then after Yamos HaMashiach, there's what's called Lasalavo. They're not the same. So, for instance, when we say mitzvos betelos lasalava, the Gemara Nida says that lasalava there aren't going to be mitzvos anymore. So, all the achronim ask the kasha: how can you say mitzvos betelos lasalava? We talk about all sorts of things that be Yimos HaMashiach. There were all sorts of mitzvos that we're going to be able to fulfill be Yimos HaMashiach. No, those are different time periods, different tekufos. Exactly how it's going to play out is a machlokas Rambam Ramban. But these are different tekufos in how things will play out in when things will play out in the future. But Las Lavos a later time, probably the Zman of Tchias HaMesim or the Olam HaNeshamos, whatever it might refer to, it's different than Yimos HaMashiach. Okay, we'll stop there and Shkayach everybody for coming. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I assume most people won't. But.
I'm here tomorrow. Are you here tomorrow?
I'm not here tomorrow.
Is anybody